you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
In case you missed it earlier, just want to let you know the announcement that it's online now, your chance to make reservations for the Film Week Annual Academy Awards Preview, though we won't be doing it in person this year. Still going to be a great show because our critics are terrific. They'll be joining me, all of them, for an online live event. Visit kpcc.org/in-person. We look forward to your being with us. It's the Sunday immediately preceding the Academy Awards, as we typically do. This year, the Oscars are coming a little bit later. So the date of our Film Week Academy Awards event is Sunday, April 18th, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. RSVP at kpcc.org/in-person. Well, she knows more about the royal family of the UK than anyone I know. Authority Pat Morrison, Los Angeles Times columnist with us. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
First, your personal reflections on what you heard in Meghan and Harry's conversation with Oprah Winfrey last night.
Well, it was a startling interview in itself, because not since Diana, the Princess of Wales, gave her what ended up being a doomed interview that got her booted from the royal family, have we heard this kind of frankness. But it's in a much more mature and fuller context about how the royal family operates, or more aptly, how the monarchy operates. Here was an opportunity to embrace this new couple, and it didn't happen. So there were missteps, certainly by the Sussexes, but the gaping hostility that they seem to have encountered, and the resistance of the institution to be flexible to accommodate some of its new members and the new realities of the world is just astonishing.
One of the most disturbing parts of it was the Duchess of Sussex revealing that she had struggled with suicidal thoughts, and that she didn't feel there was any avenue for getting help.
Look, I was really ashamed to say it at the time, and ashamed to have to admit it to Harry especially, because I know how much loss he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that if I didn't say it, that I would do it. And I just didn't want to be alive anymore.
So the institution is never a person, or is it a series of people?
No, it's a person.
It's a person.
It's several people. But I went to one of the most senior people to get help.
Well, the way you're describing this, it's like you were trapped and couldn't get help, even though you're on the verge of suicide. That's what you are describing. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Pat, obviously very, very disturbing for her to go through such a dark period without essentially her employer's support.
This was shocking, in part because Diana, the Princess of Wales, had clear mental problems early in the marriage. And the Queen and Prince Charles brought in psychiatrists. They had her consulted privately, had sessions for her arranged, and she refused medication, refused help. But that was private. The concern here was that if the Duchess of Sussex, married to the grandson of the Queen, went into a mental institution, that would be it. The tabloids would find out, and it would be all over. So once again, it was about the image, not so much about the sense of, here's someone who needs some help. They were resisting her getting the help that she needed because someone might find out.
What do you anticipate will be the royal family response to this? Because even if they have a very different memory or interpretation of things that were said, it's very difficult to prove a negative. So how are they likely to respond to this?
It's very rare that the palace responds directly to anything that is as personal as this. What might happen is that down the road, maybe a matter of days or weeks, you will hear something that addresses some of the concerns without being specific about them. You're never going to hear, for example, who it was in the royal family who asked Harry and Meghan what color their baby would be. But you may see responses in terms of outreach to Harry and Meghan that will maybe try to mend those fences. But I don't know that these fences can be mended. When we heard about Prince Charles and his son not talking for goodness knows how long, or the decision by the Sussexes to cut themselves off from being royal in the sense that they would do the duties that might be expected of them otherwise. This is pretty serious, and there have been some serious problems in this family over the years, Larry. This is perhaps the biggest I have read about in a long time, certainly since the abdication in 1936.
The skin color of the baby was a topic that you just mentioned, and let's listen to that clip from the interview led by Oprah Winfrey.
In those months when I was pregnant, all around the same time, so we have in tandem the conversation of he won't be given security, he's not going to be given a title, and also concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
What?
And...
Who is having that conversation with you? What?
So,
there is a conversation. Hold up.
There's
Stop
several
right now.
There are several conversations.
There's a conversation
it.
With you.
With Harry.
About how dark your baby is going to be?
Potentially, and what that would mean or look like.
And it's very disturbing to hear this, Pat. Again, we're not getting an actual quote. We don't know specifically what was said. We clearly know how the Duchess heard this, and I believe it was conveyed from her husband to her, as I understood from the interview. Again, this in a multicultural society like the UK, this has to hit very hard.
I have my suspicions about who might have said that, but realize that the monarchy, in a way, has protected itself by not being too forward and too modern, by being retrograde. And within the royal family, there have been there's some pretty racist colonial attitudes over the decades. The Queen loves the Commonwealth. She cherishes the Commonwealth, and she saw immediately what an advantage having Meghan in the royal family could be. But that can't be said of other members of the royal family. And this was just a grotesque and cruel thing to hear.
We'll continue with Los Angeles Times columnist Pat Morrison. She is, as we speak, almost literally writing a column about this to be in the Los Angeles Times later today and on the Times website. We'll also get that up on our AirTalk page at kpcc.org, linking to the Times for that piece once it's published. You're listening to AirTalk. We'll continue. And if you have questions for Pat, we're at 866-893-KPECC. Back in 1 minute. Coming up on Fresh Air with Terry Gross, a guest who has frequently joined us on Air Talk, the terrific biographer Walter Isaacson. His new book is on discoveries related to RNA, such as CRISPR, the gene editing tool, and also the mRNA vaccines being distributed right now, produced by Pfizer and Moderna. Walter Isaacson with Terry Gross in 10 and a half minutes right here on KPCC. Los Angeles Times columnist, my good friend Pat Morrison with us to talk about the bombshells that came out of last night's interview of Meghan and Harry by Oprah Winfrey. It aired last night on CBS, and my understanding is it's going to air tonight on British television, of course, because of the time difference. Pat, what's your sense of how it's landing there?
Well, we've already seen bits and pieces of reaction. You have a very reactionary tabloid press in Britain, and we already, over the last 2 or 3 years, have seen how it reacts to Meghan and Harry and how nasty it is, and I think it's going to be doubling down on that. It's not going to be apologetic. It's not going to say, gee, we're sorry that we made this happen. It's going to make hay out of this, and it's going to feed some of those entrenched attitudes, those backwards attitudes that are still there, and then simply confirm what it is that Meghan and Harry were saying and finding in the first place. As someone tweeted, who can imagine that you would come to America to get away from racism? But that appears to be part of what happened.
JP writes on the page, I need some education regarding Meghan and Harry's allegations, specifically discussions of how dark their children might be. So little was said, it's hard to infer an allegation. I have mixed race married friends. They've had the same conversations. No, sure. I mean, my wife and I, we talked, you know, when she was pregnant, wondering which characteristics, my deep set eyes or, you know, which of our skin tone that our son might be. I don't think there's anything abnormal about that when you're talking about physical features. The context in which Harry and Meghan heard this, and Pat, maybe you can elaborate, was concerned that the baby would be dark and that that would be a negative.
Yes, and that's what's so shocking. As you say, Larry, we have, you know, so many mixed-race people. I mean, the whole nature of our human population is mixing populations and the strengths that come out of all of that. And to think of that as a negative, who would think of that as a negative in that day and age? And so it was more telling than just the anecdote. It said a great deal about how retrograde this family and this institution is in something like that. 150 years ago, Queen Victoria wrote to one of her daughters when they were looking about marrying off members of the family. She said, we need good dark blood in the family. And she meant brunettes.
Wow. We have a question from Abby on Twitter, or a comment. What I found shocking was the Duchess said she was required to go through a bureaucracy in order to access mental health treatment, and that they took away her passport, ID, and keys. No wonder she's traumatized. That's Abby on Twitter. Pat, is that typical?
Well, when you do surrender a lot when you join the royal family. They are in charge of your official travel. And your private travel, as my understanding is, has to be approved by the Queen if you're going to go overseas. So you would not be able just to go to your desk and say, ah, here's my passport, or to drive away, to drive across town to do some shopping. When this happened with Diana, Princess of Wales, things got upset because she needed protection. She needed to be monitored, in a sense, in ideally the best sense of the word. But yes, when you go into that family, there's a trade-off, and it is not a pleasant one. You know, there's not enough bling in the world to make up for having your life that controlled, for having your life scheduled 6 months in advance. Nobody can prepare you for it.
Pat Morrison, Los Angeles Times columnist with us. With that in mind, I mean, one of the things I kept thinking, Pat, is to what extent did she know what she was getting into, speaking of the Duchess? Because It is, in a sense, like marrying into a business. It's almost like if you're marrying someone and you're expected to work in that business for the rest of your life, you're making that degree of commitment, just not a relational commitment exclusively. And do you think that she had the sense of that?
She said something that was interesting because Oprah asked her about that, about doing research. And she said, no, I didn't, you know, go looking up my husband on Google. That's not the kind of research that would have been required. That's just gossip. But to find out, for example, that yes, when the Queen's own children come into the room, they first curtsy to her, not because she is, you know, mom, but because of the institution that they're honoring with that. So all those sorts of things would be evident and important to know. And here's a woman who herself was a celebrity and thought that she knew the ramifications of celebrity, but nothing on this scale, from the public attention and focus to the private protocols that are observed even within the royal family.
Silas writes on the AirTalk page, makes me respect William and Kate all the more. Well, this certainly sheds a light to some extent on what the other sibling and his wife are going through.
He is the heir to the throne. She is going to be the Queen of England. And the protocols and the restrictions that they're willing to accept and live with, having photographs of your children put out there every Christmas as a formal exercise, and what they're willing to push back on is very telling. They may, when they become the monarchs, decide to change a lot of things. But right now, they're not in a position to. Certainly with the queen still living, there are a lot of things that, a lot of changes that will not be made until she has died.
Harry said his brother and his father were trapped and expressed a bit of sorrow for the position in which they find themselves. And, you know, hard to imagine how they respond to that.
Well, here you had Oprah's question, hey, you're a prince, you have palaces, you grew up with this. This is the Duke of Windsor, King Edward VIII, who felt so burdened by duty and so constrained that, in a way, he was looking for a way out, and he found it in an American woman, the woman he married, Wallis Simpson, and gave him the out to abdicate. If you're born into it, you don't have much choice unless you do abdicate. If you marry into it, everything about it is alien. This entire family relationship is alien. The whole function of the monarchy seems alien. And yet, Britain keeps it. It makes a lot of money. The family maintains it. But at what price? We're seeing in this couple, the Sussexes, the price that's exacted.
What changes, if any, do you think will come in what was called the institution? Do you think that this will bring about any?
Oftentimes, it's the outsiders who come in who change it. Prince Philip was an outsider who came in and changed things and shook things up in the way things were done in the palace and made it a little more open and accessible. Hard as that may be to believe, Diana did the same thing, going out into the crowds, hugging children, shaking people's hands, sitting and talking to sick people, not just stopping by the bedside with a bouquet of flowers, but sitting there and holding their hands, AIDS patients, talking to them. All the outsiders have been able to enforce and to bring in some kind of changes, but it takes forever. It's like you need focus groups that they don't run, but you focus group everything in the monarchy. How's it going to work? How's it going to play out? What happens if it doesn't work? How do we recover from that? It's a very timid institution.
And do you think when it comes to Britain's tabloid media that Meghan is going to be covered with more sensitivity and understanding?
No, I think she's going to be covered with even more hostility because in the interest of headlines, they're going to be wringing their hands and be pious about, oh, well, look at the damage she has done. Dear me, dear me. Now, when Diana was first pregnant, the Queen called in tabloid editors and said, hey, lay off for a while. Why she didn't do that with Meghan, I don't know.
Pat, thank you so much for joining us and providing your expertise on this interview and the tremendous reaction it's received. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sir Larry.
Thanks. We'll look forward to her piece, which will be on LA Times website and up on our AirTalk page later today. Los Angeles Times columnist Pat Morrison. Just want to remind you, after all things considered, with Austin Cross at 1 today, Take 2 has the day off. That's a chance for you to check out On Point, a program that typically airs at 9 o'clock in the evening on KPCC. Give it a listen at 2 o'clock. You may make it a part of your evening listening experience here to KPCC. Have a great afternoon. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 10 for the next Air Talk.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.